In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, continuing today with my talks on a biography of a very well-known Christian man, Oswald Chambers. His devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, is undoubtedly very familiar to many of you, but I wonder how many of you know much about his life. I wanted to share this with you. This is a new book which has come out entitled Oswald Chambers, Abandoned to God. I ended the program yesterday with a verse that liberated Chambers from a period of spiritual desperation and darkness. The verse was Luke 11:13, which may be just what you need today. This is what it says. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We hear many different teachings, many astonishing stories about the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here's a verse that makes it quite understandable. We're to ask, and we have a Heavenly Father who is not going to withhold from us anything that he knows will be best for us. And I can just imagine, in this dark night of the soul, Oswald Chambers sort of emerging with those words, how much more, how much more, as a Scot, he would say, shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. He was a disciplined, dedicated student, studying art and poetry and theology. He appreciated men who had brilliant minds, who were not Christians. He didn't hunt for heresy, but he carefully sifted and studied and pondered and evaluated authors like Balzac, Ibsen, George MacDonald, and Alexander White. He was greatly influenced by the principal of the college that he was attending, a man named Duncan MacGregor. Duncan MacGregor's most significant influence on Chambers during these years was in his daily life. I never knew him in a controversy in my life, Chambers said. He always let the other man have it all his way. I have known him to be defrauded over and over again, but I never knew him to be defrauded without knowing it. Walking the streets of Dunoon and Glasgow with the principal, Oswald observed a man who lived what he preached. One of the most touching sights to me, Chambers wrote, was to see that man of God with the poor, the blind, the lame, the halt, and the imbecile. They all seemed to feel that they had a strong refuge in him. Children were always very fond of the Reverend MacGregor, and he never refused anything they offered him. I remember once a dirty little urchin, sprawling about in the puddles on the sidewalk, scrambled to her feet when she saw the principal coming, and held up her grimy little hand with an ordinary piece of half-sucked candy in it, which the principal took and put in his mouth with a most gracious thank you. There's a man of God. Oswald Chambers joined a group called the League of Prayer, and he met there a very unusual Japanese evangelist whose name was Juji Nakada. I'm sure I am not pronouncing it the way a Japanese would, but that's the best I can do. Juji Nakada, who had been educated in the States at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Mrs. Charles Kalman also wrote a book of devotions, which is probably familiar to many of you, called Streams in the Desert. And Mrs. Kalman and her husband had been missionaries in Japan, and so they came with Mr. Nakada to America in 1906 and 1907. And they visited a place called God's Bible School in Cincinnati. And it was there with them that Oswald Chambers learned of the death of that wonderful man, Donald McIntosh. "How easily I recall Donald McIntosh," he wrote, "a pure, rugged Highlander, the great old type, big build with the close raven locks. And well I remember the many times I tramped the moors for 14 miles on a Sunday with him to kill Finnan and back from Kames. Great thoughts were in that man, and great utterances. And I recall him with a chastened grace and a profound gratitude for my friendship with him. I recall his family worship. The larger, the more liberal views were his, and he allowed hymns to be sung." In those days, there were some churches in Scotland that would allow nothing but psalms. "He allowed hymns to be sung, and he had his own quiet humor. He was as tender as a lamb with his children, and how they loved him. My heart goes out to them now as the widowed mother enters a life that can never be the same again. Death does profoundly alter life. But praise God, how gloriously ready he was to go." And Mrs. Livingstone, "I remember very vividly the last night I saw her in Dunoon. The twilight was gray and gold, and the great warm heart of the old lady flooded out to me. I feel the strong, almost painful hug of her old arms as she smothered me with kisses. 'Laddie, I'll never see ye here again. How can we live without ye?' I recall the time 2 years ago as I watched her husband die, and in the early dawn heard her praying in that big house on the hilltop when nothing was stirring but the dawn birds. As the stern, strong prayer carried, I remember how I bowed and waited in my own bedroom while a woman, whose sorrows were deeper than I have ever known, bowed while the billows of God went over her. And then old John Cameron, but that hits hard. Few knew him, but I knew him. I remember him on his deathbed, in his home on the slopes of Ben Nevis. He could not speak, but he held out his arms, and I bent down and kissed him. The snows were deep, not only around him, but on his own head, a stern mountain crag. But the heart of a moss rose was his. If anyone has felt the tenderness of a rugged old Highlander's embrace and love, they'll know why I thank my God upon my remembrances of old John Cameron. How he knew God, how he talked with God, and how he taught me out on those hills, at midnight, at dawnlight, and at noonday have I knelt before that old veteran in prayer. Truly it was a great goodness of God to allow me to know such men. I learned a bigger stride, the stride of the mountains of God, with these royal, elemental souls. I am growing more and more convinced that God makes our own forever, and that he brings and removes friends and teachers when he knows best. The older I get in the things of God, the more I find of the good and the blessed and the noble in men. How few mean men I have met. And here it is the same. God is introducing me to the choice souls. He went to Japan. Oswald Chambers went to Japan in 1907. And on the boat, he was reading Plato, Les Misérables, The Strenuous Life by Theodore Roosevelt, and other books. Obviously a man of broad interests, deep intelligence, and of course, as we've seen, unusual and profound spirituality. He was working with Mr. and Mrs. Charles Kalman in Japan. They were members of the Oriental Missionary Society. It took 2 months to get from Japan to England. And he became then a significant member of and influence in the group called the League of Prayer. He was by this time well known and much in demand as a preacher. He was greatly loved by nieces and nephews. He had fun with children. He was tender, and he was interested. Isn't that an interesting little intimate glimpse into a man, a great man spiritually, physically, intellectually, but fun with children, tender and interested? And one little amusing thing, one night after a meeting, Oswald was about to leave the church when a woman came rushing up. "Oh, Mr. Chambers," she said, "I feel I must tell you about myself." Oswald sat with the woman in a quiet corner, but was back in a few minutes. "That was quick," said a friend, as they walked home. Oswald chuckled. "I asked her if she had ever told God all about herself, and she said she hadn't, so I told her to go home and tell God as honestly as she could, and then see if she still needed or wanted to tell me. If only folk would go to headquarters."
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.